Man, I feel good. I'm starting to tap into that which our brother was talking about, the miracles. I love it. I want to be in the miracle makers. Thank you, Jesus. If you're there with me tonight in Luke chapter 20, say amen. If not, look over at your neighbor and say, where's he at? We'll go ahead and start reading at verse 9 for the sake of time. Here we go. Then began he to speak to the people this parable. A certain man planted a vineyard and led it forth to husbandmen and went into a far country for a long time. And at the season, he sent a servant to the husbandmen that they should give him of the fruit of the vineyard. But the husbandmen beat him and sent him away empty. And again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also and entreated him shamefully and sent him away empty. And again, he sent a third, and they wounded him also and cast him out. Then said the Lord of the vineyard, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. It may be they will reverence him when they see him. But when the husbandmen saw him, they reasoned among themselves, saying, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him, that the inheritance may be ours. So they cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. What therefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them? He shall come and destroy these husbandmen and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid. And he beheld them and said, what is this, that when that is written, the stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner? Whosoever shall fall upon that stone, say this phrase with me tonight, shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, say that with me, it will grind him to powder. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. Father, we come tonight and are so excited to be here and be back. And Lord, I pray that this word go as deep as you want to take it, as bold as you want to make it, and Lord, as long as you want to make it too. I'm just kidding. Lord, I ask tonight that you bless your messenger, that this be none of me and all of you. And God, I pray for your people. Lord, as we've entered into worship and stepped through the gates, we want to get to the Holy of Holies, God, where when we hear your word, it changes us. Where when we hear it, we begin to do it and change others' lives. And we ask all of these things, God, in your wonderful name, Jesus Christ. And the church said, tonight we're going to try to go as far as God will let us go. And I'm excited about what God revealed in my heart about this. And I want to take a little time to talk about sort of the before, where we started reading, and then start getting into some of the things inside the scripture to begin to examine it a little deeper. Now, you'll find that during this time of documentation that Jesus was in the midst of performing healings, and he was being persecuted by those that were religious around him because he was starting to gain favor and popularity over all of the people that he would go around. So every city he would travel to, he'd get a little more popular. And every place that he would go, he would begin to do greater and greater works. And before he would even get to a city, people had begun to hear about him. And as they heard about him, I'm sure you know that that kind of information begins to spread, especially to the enemy. So as the enemy of Christ, the religious of the church of that time, began to hear of his miracles, they began to try to find moments where they could condemn him for what he was doing, because they were trying to apply the law unto him to persecute him. But he didn't come that the law would destroy him. He came to fulfill it. So the law couldn't ever be used against him. So as he was being accused and asked on what authority he had to heal people, he began to talk about that in verses 1 through 8. But then at the conclusion of that response, he opens up and gives them something a little bit deeper. And as I began to read these scriptures, when I read this growing up, You know, it was obvious to me when I would read to the end and see that he would send the Son, and I would connect Christ with that. That was obvious to me when I would read that. It would stand out to me. But I want to bring this out a little bit deeper as God is teaching me and helping me to learn. Number one, church, creation was done by God. He made the garden to which we in all of our lives were planted in. We read about this parable, and it starts out where he planted a vineyard. Let me go ahead and establish tonight that there would not be a vineyard to plant in had it not been created at some point. And God created all the heavens and the earth. We read about the beginning of creation in Genesis chapter 1. So he laid the foundation to which he could sow into the earth. Without all of the things that God spoke over that thing, then the vineyard would not have been possible to say that it would have been present for. Let's read it. Genesis chapter 1 verse 9 says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so." I'm here to tell you tonight that you're not here because of an accident, a mistake, or circumstance. You are here because at some point God saw fit through your creation that by your creation he would get glory. So the very fact that you were born and have a foundation and have lived your life today means that you were established and created by God. He said that he knew you even before you were formed in your mother's womb. Look over and tell somebody, God already knows me. So we understand where the garden comes from, that without even having the words to speak the vineyard into existence, we would have no vineyard. So we already know that that which we're standing on today is God's. That which we wear today is God's. That which we possess and claim as our own is a result of God's creation. The profits we reap, the things that we enjoy in life, all has been given unto us by God. What are you trying to say, brother? Without God, we wouldn't have anything. We would just have a blank foundation. And had he not even given us air to breathe, our human vessels wouldn't even live. So I'm here to testify tonight that we should be humbled over the fact that we wouldn't be anybody, we wouldn't have anything, we wouldn't prosper for anything if we didn't already have what God already spoke the word over of our lives. I'm here to tell people out there in the world that are unbelievers, that act like that they have no presence or belief in God, that they would not be here had God not spoke the foundation for them to live. If God had not spoke the opportunity for them to be here, they would not be here to even say they do not believe. It took me a long time to realize that God even loved those that were against him. You know, some people, they like to get in some, you know, slide of a denomination where it's like God's only about us and not about our enemies. Listen, he's about everybody. Whether you like them or not, God loves them. And let me tell you, the ground that you drive on to get here to church is the same ground that your enemies drive on. And God gets them back and forth to places just as much as he does you. So I want to establish tonight that there's nothing that we can say on heaven and on earth that makes us better than anybody else. Because without God's word to speak it, we would be nothing. I had to establish that because before we move forward, you've got to already know and understand that none of this would have been possible without God's word over it. Number two, in Psalm verse 80, verse 8, "Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it." Let me read this to you. God's people have been planted and nourished by God. This would eventually be the fruit to which would have been profitable. Israel was brought out of Egypt. And we read in reference to that scripture that they are the vine. We read in the New Testament how we are the fruit of the vine. And we know who is the source of life to that vine, right? So the fact that it is planting a vineyard means that he was creating something out of his word that would sustain you. He is creating something out of the scripture that would establish you. You may not feel like at times that your Bible means anything to you, but it's everything to me. You might not feel like that you're getting enough of God's word to sustain you, but let me ask you, friend, are you reading enough to know and understand what it is that you say you believe? Because here's the deal. If you read as much as we claim and praise that we do, then when these little things come along, we wouldn't be so easily shaken and taken off our feet by some small thing. God wanted to equip us to be in such a place in our life that even when things happen, we would be unshaken. What kind of stability are you talking about, brother? I'm talking about being as stable as Stephen was when he was able to stand there and be stoned by others. I'm talking about a place of peace that you could be at like Christ was when he hung on the cross, yet he opened not his mouth. I'm talking about this is the kind of place that God wants you to be at. But as we examine ourselves, sometimes we don't find ourselves to be on the vine. We find ourselves to be on the ground. How many of you have ever took the chance of picking an apple up off the ground instead of off the vine? Chances are, maybe if you took a few bites, it's probably all right. Then maybe you got down to the other side where it's been laying on the ground and you found the worm. How many of you have ever found the worm before? Oh, Lord, that's not the bite you want, brother and sister. That is not a good meal. That's not good eating, as they say in the South. I don't want to pick anything up off the ground, because if it's already off the ground, then it's already adhered to its purpose. I want to get things off the vine. I want to get where life is still being brought into something. We as the church today, as lineage has moved on, as the temple is established in us, we're on the vine. And if we're on the vine, that means we're connected to Him. And if we're connected to Him, that means we have a source of strength where we don't have to go picking on the ground for things that are dead. I'm here to tell you, from the very moment you break off the vine, you're dead. If the very moment you say that you don't believe God can do it, you're dying. The very moment you give up on your faith, you're beginning to rot from the inside. The devil came in the first appearance of a serpent, but I'm going to inject him in this part as a worm. He'll come into your apple, your situation, when you get disconnected with God, and he'll slip in and make you rotten. We can't be a church of rotten fruit. We can't be a church of rotten fruit. If you were going to serve somebody a meal and you were going to give them some apples, apple cobbler, oh Lord, some ice cream, now that's what's up. You wouldn't serve them rotten apples, would you? You want to get them the freshest representation of a good apple. You want to go to the store and sort through all the ones that look like they're already turning to get to the place where you have the best of the goods. I don't want to be a rotten apple. Any time that we disengage from God, whether it's being busy, whether it's mentally being defeated by what's around us, or letting the discouragement of others begin to poison our vine, anytime these things begin to happen, we're breaking away from the source of life, which is God. And when this moment happens, you can either be for God or against Him. You're either on the vine or you're off the vine. You're either with Him or you're not with Him. You're either coming in and obeying Him or you're sitting there disobeying Him. God cannot prosper with rotten fruit. He cannot prosper with half-hearted sacrifice. We have to learn to be sincere. We have to learn to be genuine to people. We have to be able to present such a facility of hope and love that when people come in, they know they're going to get strength. And I don't know if you've ever attended a church before that has been dead. You couldn't have picked anything up off the ground that would have been good enough to save the night. And I've been there and struggled in those services, and as I guess you would say, as a rookie in it, I begin to question, Lord, well, what do I need to do? And He began to show me, Jared, you're either active for me or you are actively rejecting me. This gets deeper. Are we ready? We encounter those that were delivered by God in the Old Testament. They were established as the vine, but yet over time, as they have disengaged from His word, from His prophets, from things that He would tell them to do, they began to grow in other avenues. Pride began to set inside of them. Contempt and division and a hunger for a power that never belonged to them began to increase inside of them. Thus, the entrance of religion. It started out as something that God established for them not to do, but then it became something that they used to rule over others to say, if you don't do this, you're not with us. That's what religion is. But God didn't come for us to be religious people. And that's what I'm trying to get to. You know what? Why I like to look at religion like? I like to see it as a rotten apple. Because at some point you're going to get to the part of that religion where you see its impurity and you see the part of it that doesn't have any hope or life, and it's only condemnation for people. And I'm here to tell you, you don't have the right to judge anybody. God is the judge over them. But let me tell you what you have the right to do, to lead them to life and it more abundantly. Because until they get connected to the source, they're going to miss out on what will teach them to survive in these last days. As you already know, we're under great political stress and struggle. We're under great rumors and wars and rumors of wars. We're under great stress and perilous times. And some people maybe say, no, this happened in the 60s, brother. This happened in the 70s. But if you're honest about it, you'll know that evil has grown. The age to which the devil intercepts our children is lower than it's ever been. They don't have to even be able to put a sentence together before infiltration already occurs. And for me, I think, God, if I have a child, I know that I say I'm going to do all these things to do it right. But I know that when it comes, it'll be totally different than what I thought it would be. But Lord, if the day comes, help me, God, to always feed them fresh fruit. Lord, don't let me get to the point where I only tell them how it's supposed to be, but never live the way that it should be in me. Lord, if I ever get to pastor a church full time one day, don't let me be the person that just tells everybody else how to be blessed, but never act like I'm ever blessed about anything. Don't ever let me be the guy that comes in and acts like that you can't ever do it good enough. I'm here to tell you, if you're trying, you're living. If you're trying to make a difference, you're making a difference. If you're trying to do something for the kingdom of heaven, you're helping somebody. And this is something I feel like that as we grow in this facility, that we're going to have to ask ourselves, are we giving people rotten fruit? Let's take worship, for instance. We're going to get back to the word. I'm just breaking this down a little bit tonight. You can examine this in every facet of the service. We know that we can pray to the point where we are infiltrated by the Holy Ghost, absolutely overwhelmed with His presence. But do we? We can worship and praise Him to the point that we have so much of His presence that all bobby pins are out of the hair, that you burn the sole off your shoe. I've had a shoe break before praising Him. That you finally get all jokes aside and get serious for the kingdom. But are we? We get to the point where God has anointed people to come and preach and teach to us, giving us ample opportunities to grow in the Word of God. But are we? He's blessing us with a facility to grow, to cultivate young people, to grow them up to understand how to protect themselves in the last days. But are we? What are we serving people when they come in here? Because if we're only here to serve ourselves, we've missed the boat. You've got to learn that you've got to come in and serve other people and give them the fruit of the vine. How you represent yourself every single service is what people are going to pick off of your tree. However good or bad you're feeling, you've got to learn that that doesn't matter in the scheme of the kingdom of heaven. Because He said if you would seek Him first, all these other things would be added. So cares of life have a priority beneath the service to God. That means I'm here even when I don't want to be here. That means I'm preaching even when I'm tired. That means I'm coming to always stay connected to the vine. Are we ready to go on? So we find that we have the religious here that are disputing Christ. And we read that about He lent it forth to the husbandman. So we're talking about the people, the farmers or the tenants that were over this was representative to the leaders of Israel at the time. You mean to tell me, brother, that The people in power that heard of His miracles were against Him? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. You mean to tell me that people in power that could help me and take care of me will neglect me in this day? Yes, that's what I'm telling you. They not only sent one, not two, not three, but even to the point of the Son, and they rejected them. So we cannot put our trust in people. We've got to know and understand that it is not about what other people can do for us, but it's about what He can do for us. And if our faith is established in Him, then we can begin to understand what our prayers are really doing. Your prayer is the lifeline that keeps you connected. You might think it's just asking for stuff, but it's keeping you connected to the vine. Your connection to God is so much more important than your friendships to people. Your connection to God is so much more important than being popular. Your connection to God is so much more important than being the boss's pet. Because you'll know and understand one day that if they have an opportunity to trample you, they're going to. I'm preaching to somebody right now. You've got to know and understand that your trust in what your faith is hinging on can no longer be about the people that are around you. You've got to know and understand that your faith to God is what keeps you connected. There have been times when I had been forsaken by everybody, but yet my trust and faith in Him caused me to elevate even in times when it was difficult. I began to question, brother, when it happened. Lord, we're in an economic decline. How can you be finding me better work? Lord, we're in a time where gas is going up. How am I not worrying about finance? And He spoke to my heart and said, son, if you'll serve me, I'll bless you. And I'm here to tell somebody tonight, as you be consistent to God and serve Him, you're going to find He's going to bless your house beyond what you could even begin to comprehend. I want to bring emphasis to this because I'm trying to keep it progressive to the scripture. Not once, not twice. First time just beaten. Maybe some of you only been beaten before with something. Maybe some of you were beaten and put to shame. Had people talk about you. Had people make fun of you. Disgrace your name. Even when you did nothing wrong. Maybe you've been falsely accused before. Or maybe it's been to the point where you felt like that the enemy absolutely spiritually killed you in the middle of your situation. But I'm here to tell you that it didn't stop with the first one. He didn't stop going for the vineyard after the second one. He didn't stop going for the vineyard after the third attempt. But He said, I'm going to get to the point where I'm going to send someone that they would not be able to turn away. If you look at when Jesus Christ's ministry was peaking, you'll find that it was also nearing its end on earth. And as He was beginning to speak this to them, there were people that didn't believe, but there were also followers of Him that were listening. And they began to clue into the hint about what was about to go down. This was a matter of days before the crucifixion began to happen. And you can find that when God begins to speak to us, sometimes we feel like we're nearing the end of something. But I'm here to tell you tonight that even though you might feel like that you're nearing the end of something, God is going to speak to you and teach you about how that He's moving in your life and blessing you to keep you even in times of suffering. I want to bring emphasis also to the fact that the devil's not going to let go until you start telling him to. That the enemy's going to keep bothering you until you start speaking your mind to him. You might think it sounds foolish, but if you're not rebuking the enemy on a daily basis, you're letting punches get in that should never get in. If you're not learning to defend yourself and fight back to the devil, then you're being tormented when you shouldn't be. I don't want to say this next part, but I've got to. And when we don't defend ourselves and we let the devil bully us all week, then you don't have to look any further as to why church services don't prosper. All right? It's not the preacher's fault. You can blame me if you want. It's not going to stick. It just falls right off of me. He said, touch not mine anointed, do my prophets no harm. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the singer's fault. I told them they did a fantastic job tonight. You ought to give them a hand clap right now. They're doing an awesome job in here, so it's not the singer's fault. And I know we're in a new place and we've got some things we're going to work on and we'll get it fixed. Don't worry about it. There is something that is more important and at hand than we're acknowledging, because we're over here somewhere in the corner because we can't even get up because we're just taking so many punches from the devil. And what God's trying to tell you is, if you're connected into the vine, when you say, devil, get off of me, then you're speaking that by the authority of God and can begin to get back up again and not keep sitting down and getting beat up all the time. I don't know about you, but you can push me once. That's it. I don't care if you're my friend or foe. You're going to get one push. And that's probably because I didn't see it coming. When you try to do it again, come on, I'll dance with you. You want to go outside and dance? We'll dance together. I'm not letting the devil pull one over me more than one time. He already pulled over me for 8 years of my life, through all of my teenage years, that I was a depressed mess and had no need to live. He's not pulling that on me again. I'm free from those demons, and I'm here to tell you, you might not think you can be, but you can be. The devil put drug addiction on me and said, you'll never be free. And he pulled it on me one time, but no more. Because by the power and authority of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I'm free today like I've never been. And you might not think that I'm qualified. You might not think I've done enough to be where I am. But get in my shoes and ask me, after you've been through what I've been through, brother, is it worth it to keep coming back? Is it worth it to keep on preaching? Because I'm telling you, every time that I preach, I'm telling that devil, you're not getting on this bus today. Amen. So there is a connection between the authority and the life source. There's a connection between your words and to the advocate who speaks them on your behalf. So that means if you're claiming the blood, listen, you might not have a dime. You might not have another meal to feed your children. You might not be to the place where you physically feel like you can go on. But if you have the blood of Christ, oh, I've got to preach this. If you have the blood of Christ, then you have a connection to the vine. Oh, I praise you, Lord Jesus. Some of the greatest wines that have ever been made was made because the grape that come off the vine was what? Pressed. It has been pushed down. Its original form was destroyed so that out of it others could enjoy the byproduct of its suffering. Think about that tonight. Jesus Christ was once on the vine as God sent him. And as he was crushed and bruised and destroyed, it began to, out of his affliction, that blood began to be not just human blood. It began to be a part of the life source which keeps me connected. And bless God, I'm telling you, if it ain't flowing in your life, then you're missing out on living your life. I will never tell you, and I said never, never's a strong word. I will never tell you it's okay to sit there and just live with your situation. If you're looking for me to be that sympathetic guy that'll just let you sit still, I'm not that feller. Oh, I'm going to be the other guy. Oh, it's so hard, Brother Matt. Oh, Lord, I just can't get it done. I'm never going to get it done. I just don't know what I'm going to do. I'm telling you right now, church, we spend more time forming our thoughts about doubt than we do